And please open in your copy of God's Word to Proverbs chapter 3. As we continue our series through the first 12 verses of Proverbs chapter 3 this evening, we come to Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6. Hear now the word of the Lord from Proverbs chapter 3 verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. That is God's word. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we ask that You would give us eyes to see, and ears to hear, and hearts to understand. We ask that You would work by Your word, made alive unto us by Your Holy Spirit. We ask that You would teach us graciously to know the way of wisdom, to see our Savior clearly, that we might lay hold of Him with ever greater faith, with ever greater understanding, that You might produce in us the fruit that accompanies such things. For it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. It's a familiar phrase, a familiar proverb. If you had to ask people, what proverb do you know? This would probably be one of the ones that would appear at the top of the list. And yet, trust is somewhat difficult. Shakespeare captured that pretty well in his play Othello, where Othello is manipulated by Iago. And we all can understand that sort of a problem, because we all understand what it is to live in a fallen world. We all have difficulty with trust from time to time. We all have had the experience of having our trust broken and knowing the pain of seeking to repair that sort of a relationship. We all also have been the ones to break trust and known the pain and the shame and the guilt of being culpable for not being trustworthy. And so often, the wisdom of the world would teach us to respond with a blanket skepticism, a blanket posture of distrust as our default setting. Who knows if perhaps there's an Iago out there holding back information to manipulate us? Who knows if we're perhaps like poor Othello being manipulated? And yet here we find a very different call from God, that we are to trust in the Lord with all our heart. And so we're going to look first at this call to trust. And we see a very clear call as the father is speaking to his son, as Solomon is seeking to place his son, whom he loves, on the path of wisdom, as he's seeking to instruct his son that he might have understanding and insight, that he might grow in wisdom and stature, that he might have favor and good success in the sight of God and man. He's called to trust in the Lord, to trust in Yahweh. This is not an abstract trust. Sometimes we can think of trust fairly abstractly. This is not an abstraction. This is a trust in a person. This is a trust in the living and true God. This is as personal as trust can be. God is calling us to trust Him completely. And He is utterly dependable. Our God is completely trustworthy. You might recall from a number of weeks ago, if you were here, what, months ago now, we heard a passage from Numbers chapter 23. In verse 19, we hear from God speaking through a prophet. God is not a man that He should lie, or a son of man that He should change His mind. Has He said and will He not do it? Or has He spoken and will He not fulfill it? Do you remember who said that? That was Balaam, the pagan hired gun, speaking for the second time to Balak, who was seeking to coax a curse out against the Israelites, and yet God had promised blessing and would not be turned aside. God had promised to bless His people, to bless Israel. He has not spoken that He will not do it. He will not fail to fulfill every word of His mouth. There is no word too difficult for the Lord to speak. There is nothing that he could say too marvelous for him to fulfill. And he has promised salvation for all who come to him in Christ Jesus. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Do we trust in those promises? The only way to trust in such promises is to trust in the one who gives them, to trust in the God who reveals himself by covenant, who enters into relationship with man, who reveals himself and shows himself to be completely trustworthy. This is the path of wisdom, to rely on this God, and that is foremost in Solomon's mind as he speaks with his son, trust in the Lord. There are many things that could compete for our trust. There are many things that could draw our trust away. We could say, I'll trust in the Lord with some of my heart, but I'm really banking on the markets to bring me through retirement comfortably. You know, Solomon says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Solomon knows the value of a pure heart. He knows the need for a pure heart. He knows the consequences of a heart that is divided. He knows what it is to have his heart led astray and to turn his heart aside from the Lord. And as one speaking from experience, he looks to his son and says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lay hold of the blessings that are found in God alone. Do not be half-hearted in your devotion to the Lord. Cling to him alone. We think about what we heard from Matthew chapter 15. With the scribes and the Pharisees who had found a way to obtain righteousness of their own, a righteousness that they could point to. It was obvious. Their hands were clean. We eat with clean hands. God, therefore, is pleased. I can trust in my hand washing. I will trust in the Lord with some of my heart and rely on some of my own understanding. But no, we see that it is possible to feign a trust in God that is in fact a reliance upon our own understanding, a reliance upon our own traditions. It's easy to give part of our heart away while holding back the reserve just in case it's needed for a rainy day. In fact, that was on Othello's mind. Early on in Shakespeare's play, Iago says to his interlocutor, others there are who, trimmed in forms and visages of duty, keep yet their hearts attending on themselves. It's easy to pay lip service to wholehearted devotion. But God does not call us to pay lip service in our devotion. He calls us to trust in him with everything that we are. Last week we thought about that phrase, with all your heart, that this is all of what we are. Our thoughts, our affections, our will, all of this is summarized in with all your heart. You might think of Peter at the Jerusalem Council, speaking in Acts chapter 15, verses 8 and 9 of the Gentiles, and he says, and God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed their hearts by faith. See, it is a work of God to give us our heart. The heart that we have is a heart that is graciously given by God, in fulfillment of his own promises, dating back even to Ezekiel, dating back before, that we should be his people. He should be our God. And God, who gives us this heart, teaches us the right use of our heart, which is to return it to him entirely in thanksgiving and in praise and in trust. And Solomon says, lean not on your own understanding. And here we have an image. Lean not on your own understanding. You can imagine a person who's just come out from having leg surgery and has crutches. And the doctor says there are two options for your crutches, these that are kind of the normal crutches you're used to seeing. made out of metal. There's these other ones that are made out of rice paper. Which crutches would you like to lean on? That's the sort of imagery that's before us here. What are we going to lean upon? What can bear the weight that you'll place upon it? Solomon says, your own understanding cannot bear the weight of the trust that you would put upon it. It would crumble. It would fail. You'd be left lying flat on the ground without anything to support you. So what is our own understanding? You might think back to the preacher in Ecclesiastes 7:29. See, this I know, that God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes. Our own understanding, which is so often cloaked in the ideas that we are a sophisticated or suave or capable person, that we can do it. We can lean on our own understanding. Here is the place where I am an expert. I don't need any extra help here. Yet we find that only when we trust in God alone, as He has revealed Himself in His Word, only then do we have a sure refuge. Only then is our path made straight. Make no mistake, your own understanding will certainly vie for priority in your heart. This is the sort of clamoring for attention that you hear often that says, don't forgive right away. You could probably get more if you hold out a little longer. The sort of understanding that says, just make them sweat it out a little bit. Don't be too quick to forgive. Or that person really just doesn't fit in with my group, so I really want nothing to do with them. See, this is the understanding of man at work, and yet what does Christ teach us? But He says to forgive readily. How much? 7 times? Yes, 7 times, but a lot more than 7 times. How often shall we forgive? As often as is necessary. How quick should we be to forgive? Well, how quick was Christ to forgive us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us? How could we look at others and say, you couldn't belong with my group when we who were not a people were called together to be God's precious people, a people chosen for His own possession, that He calls from every tribe, tongue, and language and people, and that we are, as His people, the apple of His eye. The blessings that flow forth from the gospel bear fruit in our lives. That as we come to saving faith in Christ Jesus and we learn not to rely on our own understanding but to turn and ask, how is God directing my steps? We see that He directs our steps according to the path of wisdom, according to how Christ Himself walked. For Christ Himself, who is the satisfaction for our sins, who is our righteousness, also is an example to whom we ought to look diligently, to write His example upon our hearts as we see Him revealed in Scripture. Well, what does this trust look like then, you might ask? And we see that in verse 6. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Being a fairly familiar passage, it's possible to rush past the imagery. But what is Solomon saying here? In all your ways, acknowledge Him. This is the language of roads. It would sound perhaps a little different if you said, in all your roads, acknowledge Him. But that's the language he's using. No doubt you have familiar roads to you. You know the best way to get to the grocery store. You know the best way to get over to Northern Virginia without having to wait in line on 495 across the Potomac. Perhaps you know that way. But we have familiar paths for us. We have ways that we walk time and again. Kids, no doubt you've had the experience of sneaking through the house to surprise a sibling or your parents, to shout boo. You know the ways through your house. You are familiar with them. And see, Solomon is speaking to a son who knows many ways who's speaking in Jerusalem, who knows the way to go down the mountain to Jericho by the fords, who would know how to go to Bethel, who would know the way north to the Sea of Galilee and across to the Dead Sea and know the ways that lead to Moab and the ways that lead to Egypt. These would be paths through which tradesmen would have gone. And Solomon is saying, in every walk of life, acknowledge God. And yet, as we think about this imagery that Solomon is building in the mind of his son of walking through these dusty roads, these dirt paths, these maybe even nice highways still made out of dust and stone, what is he to be doing? He is to acknowledge God. What comes to mind when you think of acknowledging God? Perhaps your mind goes to the sort of acknowledgement that we see in professional sports. Perhaps there's that excellent touchdown pass that's caught and the sort of hand raised to acknowledge God, or the excellent soccer goal that's kicked and the running in circles with a hand raised to acknowledge God, or the excellent home run that's hit and as the runner is going about the bases waving to God. Is that what Solomon is saying here? Is that what God's word is saying? Acknowledge God by pointing to the heavens. Now, what he's saying is far, far more profound, because the literal word here is know him. In all your ways, know him. This is an idea of knowledge that goes far beyond mere intellectual notion, though it is not less than that. This is a knowledge that is relational. This is a knowledge that we come to only through years of getting to know someone. It is experiential. It's a knowledge that has real roots. Have you ever had a friend who was steadfast beside you through difficult times? Who was simply there for you when you needed a friend? And you know what it is to know someone in a walk of life. To know the character of that friend who will stand beside you and help you and encourage you and point you to the Lord through difficult times. You have an idea of what it means to know God in every one of your ways, because his faithfulness far surpasses even the most faithful of friends. His loving kindness is without exhaustion. For how could you possibly describe someone who you know in that way? Perhaps you've been married for a while and someone says, "What is your spouse like?" And you think to yourself, "Well, I could tell you the favorite foods. I could tell you if this is a morning person or not a morning person." But how do you explain to someone how you know the person that you've spent your life with? It can't be put into words. It's something that is only through a life of commitment. You'd almost have to just say, you just got to get to know him. That's the kind of knowledge that we are called to of God. God as our friend. God who is there leading us. And this is the type of friendship to which we are freely invited by Christ Jesus, to come into the fellowship, as John writes, that our fellowship indeed is with the Father and with the Son, and that that fellowship is open to all who come to Christ Jesus in faith. And everywhere we go with the knowledge of walking before the Lord, so that every crossroads of life, every decision, every place where we go, we have the memory of standing beside our God, of walking before his faith. For he is ready to help. He's ready to strengthen you and to uphold you with his righteous right hand. This is the character of our God, that Solomon is pleading with his son, trust in him with all your heart. You might think of Christ's own example, as he would often depart from the crowds and go off to pray. Where was there a way in which Christ did not know the Lord? Where was there a time in which he was not seeking the fellowship of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit together? See, this is the life that our Savior lived perfectly for us and the life to which we are called, to live before the face of God, trusting in Christ alone for salvation. For what blessings accompany such trust? Well, we see there in the end of verse 6, and he will make straight your paths. Left to ourselves, our paths would be hopelessly crooked. That is simply the way Scripture describes us. And we might look and say, well, not totally crooked. And then you look back and you think, yes, totally crooked. Left to myself, my path would be anything but straight. See, Proverbs 12:15 reminds us that the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. See, there is a way that we would naturally go toward, and yet when we trust in the Lord, he takes us from the path of death and he puts us on the path of life, the path of wisdom. And he fences us in graciously and lovingly with his law, that we might understand his will as we lay hold of it, not by our own strength, but only as those who come by grace through faith in Christ Jesus, so that the law is no longer a curse for us, but a loving guide for our lives, that we might see it for what it is now in Christ Jesus, as God's gracious warning and help to guide along our way. See, when we turn to the Lord in humble reliance, he makes our own crooked path straight. And this is the sense of straight, yes, literally, in the metaphor, that Solomon's son, listening to this, would think, I know the path down to Jericho. It's kind of twisty going down the mountain. It's kind of slippery on the dust. And Solomon is saying, imagine a perfectly straight path with nothing to trip over, with nothing to turn your ankle, with nothing lurking in the shadows, a wide, straight, easy path that you can walk along. But this is also an ethically straight path. This is also the same term you would use for righteous. This is the sense of being turned aside from evil and toward righteousness. This is the path that God puts us on. And see, as we hear God's word and as we see the sin that resides in our lives, God teaches us to put to death that sin, and he puts us on a straight path. As we fellowship with one another and as we give and receive godly advice, God is at work straightening our path. As we learn to look to Christ for all of our needs, as we learn to rely on him with all of our heart, God is at work straightening our path. See, the world's wisdom says, trust no one and hedge your bets. Keep your friends close and your enemies closer, but don't ever trust. But our God, who is entirely trustworthy, who is entirely righteous, who is entirely faithful, who is full of steadfast love and mercy, says, trust me. By God's grace, as we learn to trust in God, we find his consolations near to our soul. We find that it is he himself who establishes our way, who guides us and protects us and preserves us for his own name's sake. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that your word is a light to our feet. We thank you that you have given to us the path of life, that you have taken us from the kingdom of darkness and put us into the kingdom of light, that we have life in Christ Jesus, that everyone who calls upon him is saved. We thank you that you have given to us this sure ground of assurance. And we ask, O Lord, that as we hear your word, we would be those who hear it and receive it, who think about it, who dwell upon it, who meditate upon it, and who are built up like trees planted by streams of water, that we might bear much fruit to your glory. For it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen.